the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
This is Pete Crow Armstrong, and I stand for everybody in the fight. Thank you for supporting Cubs for a Cure.
To donate now, visit CubsForACure.com or text the phrase CURE25 to 41444. That's CURE25 to 41444.
Live on The Score, and a big thanks to the Marquee Sports Network for being on board. We're live on Marquee now and throughout much of the Radiothon. The glove has been claimed. The Dempster has been claimed. We're over $5,000. I should say the $2,300 donation from an anonymous group of brothers who are super Cubs fans. They were touched by the Radiothon last year. I am wearing the Craig Counsell Cubs for a Cure game-worn jersey that he wore on the field at Cubs for a Cure Day last year, because this group of brothers really believe in the power of unity at Wrigley Field, and he thought that my family, given my connection to Craig Counsell, should have this jersey. And so it's a tremendous honor. So they donated $2,300 in honor of Rhino. $23 donations are coming in. Also want to let you know of a great donation incentive that's available. Those Cubs tickets for the Pirates series, Section 13, Row 9, two tickets to all three games. Oh, they just got claimed, excuse me. So we'll move on to the next thing. You want to meet Michael Bush, get four tickets to a game, and go up to the radio booth and meet Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. That is a you-cannot-buy-it experience, $2,500. Next $2,500 donation. It's four tickets to a game. You get to meet Michael Bush. You get to meet Pat Hughes. You get to meet Ron Coomer. It is just the type of thing that a Cubs fan could call priceless, and it's a tax-deductible donation to help us raise a bunch of money. 773-388-8270 or CubsForACure.com. It is now my distinct honor to welcome in Robbie, Kathy, and Robbie Jr. Crowell, who to the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Robbie, Kathy, why don't you tell us about Robbie's diagnosis and kind of, you guys are wearing the Stand Up to Cancer shirts. Robbie, actually, I should start with you, Robbie Jr., I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What jersey are you wearing?
I'm wearing PCA jersey.
PCA jersey. He your favorite player?
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's an amazing thing. And we'll get to that story in just a little bit. But Kathy, can you just tell us kind of about Robbie Jr.'s journey here?
Well, Robbie, in 1999, he was diagnosed with brain cancer medulloblastoma at 9 years old. And it was just in one day that he wasn't feeling good. And we...
You're good.
And he was having headaches. And so we just thought it was the flu. And then he was in wrestling and he hurt his head. So we thought, okay, the next day that might be two. And then he went to a birthday party, wasn't feeling good. So took him to the doctor. It was St. Patrick's Day. And he was really upset because he didn't want to miss Shamrock Shakes that day.
Of course.
So I told him, I said, don't worry, we'll be back. You're just going to go to the doctor. And so I took him to his pediatrician, and she kept telling me sinuses, and I kept telling her no. So from that day, they said sinuses. So we went to our local hospital, and they did a scan, and they said it was okay. And then I said, no, something's not right. So we were walking out the door, and actually Rob showed up that day, which I thought was crazy because he didn't even know. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, what are you doing here?
Well, I happened to be working nearby, and I had a funny feeling about this whole thing, because when he woke up in the morning, he was sick, and I'm like, what happened? What's the matter? And he's like, God, Dad, my head hurts so bad. I'm just sick to my stomach, you know? And so... I was thinking about that, and around break time at work, I was only 10 minutes away from my job over to the hospital. So I just had a feeling like, you know what, I got to go over there. There's something that wasn't right. So
then we, so they did the scan and they said it was okay. And I said, no. And so we are walking out to the car and a nurse literally came back and got us. And she's like, you have to come in. We're going to do another scan. So we did. And then that scan, they told us that he needs to get to Lutheran General in Parkridge immediately. I never heard of Lutheran General Parkridge. And they're like, there's going to be Dr. Ruge waiting for you at the door. And at this time, he was acting like drunk and kind of like not
out of it.
Out of it. And so when we went to Lutheran, the team of doctors, they were waiting and they took him right away from us. And I kept saying, what's going on? And then they told us, they're like, well, he's got to have brain surgery. He's got to have it now. Otherwise, it was going to burst in the back of the head. And they told us to call in all our family. And we're an hour away. And so I was trying to call everybody. And I was crying so bad for my mom. And I called her. She didn't understand what I was trying to say. And so finally, all my sisters, brothers, and all family came to say goodbye to him. And so then he took him. He was in 6-hour surgery. And then they came back and they told us that his name was Dr. Ruge at Lutheran. And then they put us in a room and he had tumors. They told us all over the brain and they told us down his spine.
9 years old.
9 years old. And at 9 years old. And so he was 6-hour surgery and then he was in intensive care. He's had one thing after another. He had so much chemo and radiation, and since 9 years old in 1999 to this day, he's had so much.
Yeah, tell people about some of the symptoms and what he's had, what he's been dealing with for the last 25 years, if you don't mind. Yeah,
they told us back in 99, but I said, okay, well, I just want you to save my son. I'm not thinking of long term. So the chemo, he lost his hearing. He's had cornea transplant, and he's kind of blind in one eye. And he's developed seizures. He had a brain stroke in January, and his balance is bad. And his walking, and then he just had a brain pacemaker put in 2 months ago. So the chemo and the radiation has really did a number. So today, in 2025, he's still having effects from 1999 at 9 years old.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Robbie, you're working, right? Tell people where you work.
I work in Myers in Round Lake Beach.
So you working at the grocery store, and you work full time, right?
Oh yes.
And Kathy, can you tell what happened when he wanted to get that PCA jersey?
Yeah. So he's
Robbie Senior, if you'd like to.
That was a funny one.
He loves PCA, and every time PCA does something, he's shouting. He runs upstairs, and so he comes up and he goes, Mom, he goes, Dick's Sporting Goods, it opens at 10 o'clock. I'm like, okay. When he focuses on something, he goes, I have to be there at 10 o'clock so I can get my PCA jersey. So I said, okay. So, okay, there we go. And he's so determined. He runs into Dick's and there they all are. And he's so excited. He wears it all the time.
Well, on behalf of the Chicago Cubs, we'd like to play a little message for you, Robbie, from PCA right now.
What's going on, Robbie? Can't imagine everything you've had to go through. over the course of your time here, but never having met you and learning a little bit about you, I am more than impressed by your resiliency, and I've only heard that you have an unbelievable attitude, so I look up to you, and I appreciate the support, and I hope I get to meet you someday soon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he signed a baseball for you.
Oh, my God.
So if you could pass that over to him, please. Yeah, so there you go, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you.
No, of course. Of course.
So that's why we like to tell, you know, he wrote a story, and because when you're diagnosed with cancer at any age, and it sucks. Sorry.
No. Okay, we agree. We agree.
You know, it's like, okay, he's diagnosed, and then it's not that people forget or whatever, but it's still been such a hard, long road for him of all the battles that he, like he says, go ahead, what do you say? About climbing the mountain.
Yeah, it's just like every time I climb a mountain, I fall down, but I never give up and I keep on climbing.
It's inspiring. What did it mean to you to hear that message from PCA? Oh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Happy to do it. Robbie, you know, his dad, what has it been like for you for now 25 plus years?
Once you get over the shock, and like the commercial says, there's nothing worse when they tell you that you're, you know, when your son's hurting and you can't do anything about it. So that's tough. And all the things I had planned for him with, you know, like sports and things like that. And it's, you know, all the things that he missed out on that's hard to swallow. And it's tough. And but I'm really proud of the man he's become, and he's the strongest guy I know. And it's just a really tough thing to watch your son deal with things like that. And but I'm glad he's here today, and I'm really proud of him, and I love him more than ever.
It's beautiful, and it's why research matters too, because you told me what they gave you guys back then was called, you said they called it the bomb, right?
I called it the bomb.
Yeah, in terms of like how much they were just overloading him, and it's just...
They were.
It's why research matters, right?
And it does, and I know when you asked us the question, and I think about that all the time now, Danny asked us, would we change anything from his treatments? And now, yes, because there's so much difference in 2025, but in 1999, there was probably three other kids at Lutheran General that were being treated. So we had no idea. We just said, do what you have to do to save him. But then Rob said, two more treatments. Rob said no more, because he'd go in the hospital, and we called it the bomb because he'd be there for the weekend, and then he'd have to stay for a month because he'd need blood transfusion, so he wouldn't come home. So, we called it the bomb.
Yeah, it was a very wicked chemo. It was probably the worst chemo, from what they told me. It's the strongest, at that time, the strongest, worst chemo you could have, and they wanted to give him 8 rounds, and I think by the third or fourth round, I was okay, but I just kind of went along with the program because I didn't know. And then they got after round 6, and I looked at him, and he was just looked awful. And it was like, no, there's no more. And luckily at that point, though, it was cleared up. I mean, there was no signs of any tumors anymore, so that was a positive from it. But that was really hard.
And Robbie, shout out your brother, because he's the one who let me know about your story.
Yes, thank you so much, Joey. I really appreciate it.
Good. And I know you just want to be like your brothers and be with your brothers and all of that. So.
Yeah, that's his biggest thing, like he says, about being like his two brothers, married and kids. But they're awesome. Tell them about your daughter, your Kelsey and them,
yes,
Evie.
Yes, my family and everybody. My friend at work and all my employees are so great to me, and my managers. I'm very thankful for that.
Listen, man, you're an You heard it. You were an inspiration to PCA.
That so was I know awesome.
You, I know awesome. Yeah, I'm so excited.
We're so happy for you, man. So on behalf of the Cubs and everyone here at the Score and Marquee, thank you so much for sharing your story. Okay.
No problem, Danny, buddy.
And thank you to Cubs and everybody.
Thanks to everybody who's donating to this great cause.
Please.
Thank you.
100% to cancer research. Text CURE25 to 41444. You inspired by Robbie Jr. and his story there. Make a donation. CubsForACure.com. We also have a pretty cool opportunity here. Two tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire on August 6th. It's hosted by Matt Spiegel. Matt Shaw will be there. Food and beverage provided. Presented by Huntington Bake. That's a $750 donation. Gets you access to that event. So you can call 773-388-8270. Text CURE25 to 41444. Again, that's a $750 donation. And the opening day tickets are still available for next year. Hey, that could be when they raise the banner, folks. That could be when they raise the banner for 2026. Four opening day tickets to next year. $600 donation goes to cancer research. Do that in honor of Robbie Jr. right now. Text CURE25 to 41444, CubsForACure.com. To the Crowell family, thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming in. The Cubs for a Cure Radiothon rolls on after this.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.